Hello, beautiful people. It's me, Marley, and you're tuning in to my third episode of Makeup Microplastics with Marley. I hope you're having a wonderful weekend so far, that you had a good week. I am currently super stressed out. I'm working on my dissertation right now, and that's been taking up all my time. So that actually brings me to informing you guys that for the foreseeable future, until I figure out my project and figure out what I'm doing after my project, my episodes will now be 30 minutes instead of an hour. I hope you guys all understand why that is. As I put a lot of research into these episodes, I just don't have the time for that. Because of my project, it's demanding more of my time, even on the weekends when I would usually do my research for this. So these episodes moving forward, including this one today, will be 30 minutes long. Maybe that's good because then it's more digestible. Who knows? But I think it also kind of maybe focuses the topics a bit more. But let's see how it goes. So yes, today's episode will just be 30 minutes. And yeah, let's get right into it. So thank you again for joining me. I hope that you enjoyed my previous two episodes. And if you haven't listened to them, I know our program coordinator is working on archives for our episodes, as well as like the research that goes into each episode. As in like a physical document, or I mean, I guess a digital one. So I will be showcasing that later on my social media, just so you guys can tune into my previous episodes. And I just want to inform you that you don't have to have listened to the previous ones to understand what I'm talking about. In this one, they're not chronological. I mean, I might be referencing some things, but you don't have to worry about missing anything depending on which episode you drop into. So I don't know why I'm kind of like out of breath right now. Maybe I just drank too much coffee. But yeah, so there will be an archive so you can listen to the previous episodes. But let's just get right into it. So today, I already talked about the sort of time change. This episode is going to be slightly different, but it's still relevant. We're going to be talking about makeup conglomerates and brands that have investments in Israel. So, therefore, brands that are complicit in the Palestinian genocide. And that might sound kind of random for me to talk about since my show is called Makeup Microplastics with Marley. There is a section of this episode that will be touching upon microplastics, but I think it's extremely relevant to be talking about this issue because like I've said before, different types of social movements are interlinked. You know, the fight for climate justice, which is more related to the main topic of my show, which is microplastics, is related to corruption and companies and just cutting costs for companies, and cutting costs means being shady in investments, and then being shady in investments means funding military occupation, you know. So I mean, that's a very simplified way to talk about the relation, but I don't think you can separate one social movement from another. Especially when you talk about investing in materials and where those materials come from, like the materials, the ingredients being put into makeup products, for example. And I'll go into that connection later. So this episode is going to be about makeup companies and conglomerates that have connections to being complicit in the Palestinian genocide. So that's the main topic today. And of course, I'll be ending the episode with one brand to protest and one brand to recommend. I always want to end my episode, I think, with these two because I don't want to, like I've said before, I don't want it to feel like all hope is lost. You know, I think when you're overloaded with information about maybe climate change and essentially about the way the world sucks, you feel hopeless. It's suffocating. Especially with something like microplastics, it's invisible and it feels insidious. And I know what the anxiety feels like, so I don't want to just end it on a negative note. Yes, it's supposed to be informative, but I think this is important because then it also gives a recommendation for where we can shift our purchasing power. And so if you're not able to donate to movements, the one of the most effective forms of protests are boycotts. So even just changing where you purchase something, if it's essential to you, then that makes a huge difference. And I think that's another reason why I want to put these two things as the ending point of an episode. So that there's like an actionable step. I don't want to leave it with just information overload, and then you're like, okay, now what? Now what do I do? I think that's often how a lot of people feel after learning things. So it gives a step for what we can do after this. So let's get into the main body of Israel's complicity. I don't know if I said that word right. But yeah, brands that have investments in Israel and are therefore complicit in the ongoing genocide. So the main focus is going to be L'Oreal. This is a makeup conglomerate. As of January 2025, it is worth $182 billion. $182 billion. Now, some people might not know that L'Oreal is actually a makeup conglomerate. Nestle has a 23% stake in their company. So there's just like levels to the types of investments and therefore corruption in these companies, because once a company has a stake in something, they have to meet the demands of the stakeholders. So that's a whole other thing. But yeah, it's really intense. I mean, a while ago, I didn't know that L'Oreal was a conglomerate. I thought it was just a singular makeup company. But yes, it is a conglomerate. And they own, excuse me, they own dozens of makeup companies, skincare companies, hair brands. So we'll get into it. So this information, some of this information is from the BDS movement website itself. And BDS stands for Boycott, Disinvestment, and Sanctions. So like I was saying before, if you can't like donate to a movement, a social movement, which makes sense, like the state of the world, yeah, most people are living paycheck to paycheck. Boycotts are one of the most effective ways to show solidarity with a movement. And so I will be calling for boycotts for certain brands that I'll get into later. But you can find a lot more information. If you're interested in other brands to boycott, you can look up that website itself, and it gives so much information. And this, where I got this information, was written in 2008. So the call for L'Oreal's boycott started in 2008 around the holiday season, which, I mean, I was 8 years old. I didn't know that. But just to give some historical context, it's this boycott has been ongoing for so long. And of course, in the past 2 years, it's received a lot more traction. And so I hope that with this episode that I'm doing now, I'll give a lot more information as to why this boycott is being called upon. And I urge you all to boycott L'Oreal and its subsidiaries, which I will also tell you which subsidiaries they are. So just for some history, L'Oreal's operations in Israel began in the mid-1990s. So this was partly motivated by political considerations, just like funding and stuff like that. Since the mid 1990s, L'Oreal Israel, so they founded a company in Israel itself under the name of L'Oreal Israel, which is the company's subsidiary in Israel, has operated a factory in the Israeli town of, please excuse my mispronunciation. I really don't want to butcher this, but I probably will. In the Israeli town of Migdal HaEmek in the Lower Galilee. So the settlement of Migdal HaEmek was established in 1952 on lands belonging to an ethnically cleansed Palestinian village whose original inhabitants are still denied the right to return to their homes. Like almost all other Jewish settlements built in the midst of Palestinian villages inside Israel, this particular settlement discriminates against Palestinian citizens of Israel, denying them the right to buy, rent, or live on any part of the town. So L'Oreal, just in this fact alone, is complicit in, oh my God, I just lost a train of thought, is complicit in displacement. That's what I was trying to think of. They're literally directly complicit in displacement of Palestinian people since the 1990s due to the founding of this subsidiary, as well as the building and operating of this factory for L'Oreal's makeup products. Some further evidence focusing on the actual materials and ingredients, L'Oreal Israel manufactures a line of products using the Dead Sea. So minerals of the Dead Sea under the name, the brand name, Natural Sea Beauty. So they mine the Dead Sea to produce products for a company under L'Oreal Israel called Natural Sea Beauty. This company is exported to 22 countries. One third of the western shore of the Dead Sea lies in the Israeli occupied West Bank. While the entire shore and its resources are systematically, forcefully closed to Palestinians by the Israeli military occupation and apartheid practices. So, essentially, a part of the Dead Sea is under Israeli occupation and therefore displaces Palestinian people from accessing their land. So Israel exploits the Dead Sea for international tourism, mining, as I said, for makeup products, skincare products, international beauty exports, as I said, this brand, and resource materials. So that's just another example of how L'Oreal is displacing Palestinian people and taking advantage of their land resources. So, the global aspect and impact of L'Oreal Israel is that since the founding of L'Oreal Israel subsidiary, Israel it has become Israel's L'Oreal Israel's commercial center for the entire Middle East. So their impact is not just like confined to exporting within the country itself. They have power and influence because L'Oreal Israel is the commercial center for the entire Middle East for L'Oreal. So, more direct ties to the Israeli military, L'Oreal awarded a $100,000 Lifetime Achievement Award to a scientist at Israel Weizmann's Institute of Science in July 2008. The Weizmann Institute, since its establishment, has been a center for research and development of nuclear, chemical, and biological weapons on behalf of Israel's military establishment. It is one of many academic institutions in Israel that are in collusion with the state's violations of international law and Palestinian human rights and are targeted for academic boycotts by the Palestinian Campaign for the Academic and Cultural Boycott of Israel. As the acronym is PACBI. So you can look that up on your own and see what other academic institutions they're boycotting. But this is another clear example of how L'Oreal has direct ties to the Israeli military. Now, $100,000 in 2008 might not seem like anything, but who knows how much they have donated since then, especially being that they're internationally worth 182 billion. This is just an isolated example, but yeah, I mean, like I said, this center has done clandestine research for weapons development and research of weapons for the Israeli military. So that's just another type. So if you want to know the brands that L'Oreal owns, like I said, they are conglomerate. So that means that they own multiple brands. They own NYX Cosmetics, Maybelline, Garnier, 3CE, which is a popular K-beauty brand, Essie nail polish, Thayers, which is a skincare brand. You might know them by their toners. And Garnier is a hair care brand. I mean, I think most people know NYX Cosmetics and Maybelline if they're into makeup. SkinCeuticals, which is a skincare brand and is outrageously overpriced, so I don't assume any of us are buying them. CeraVe, which is extremely unfortunate because it's a very simple formulation, which a lot of people who have like sensitive skin, maybe eczema, or they have skin conditions, they might use CeraVe because it's just, as I said, very simple. So that's very unfortunate that that is a part of the boycott because, God, I mean, once you start to research this stuff, it's like the less and less, the more you know, the less stuff you can use, which of course is a part of the point, but it becomes difficult to find an alternative for the same price, especially if you are dealing with skin conditions. And that's why it really bummed me out. I mean, obviously, it bummed me out when I learned that they own NYX Cosmetics because NYX was always a brand that I was gravitated towards because they have such an amazing array of colors in their lipsticks and eyeshadows, like everything that they have multiple color options. So for the makeup freaks like me who just like to put color all over their faces and just look like a rainbow when they do their makeup, this was a easy brand to buy from without hurting your pockets and explore. So I will not be buying from NYX again. I will not be buying from any of these makeup and skincare and hair care companies because of their because they are complicit. But I just have to say it's unfortunate and incredibly unfortunate that a makeup company that was just like a safe space for people to affordably explore themselves is a part of this boycott list. So like I said, CeraVe is also a part of that. Also extremely unfortunate because of their catering to sensitivity. Vichy, which is like a skincare brand in like drugstores. La Roche-Posay, which is also incredibly unfortunate because they have really nice gentle formulations, but excuse me, they're quite expensive. So it's no sweat off my back. Is that the right term? Whatever. But La Roche-Posay is owned by them. Redken, which is a hair care brand. Carateis, which is also a hair care brand. They're carried in Sephora. Prada. Diesel. So not only do they own a variety. They own the affordable options and the expensive options, which is beneficial to them because that expands their investments. But it's kind of like, okay, now what do I do? So I'll give a recommendation later. They own Prada, Diesel, which is a luxury brand, Valentino, Mugler. So unfortunate because that is my favorite designer brand. I mean, obviously, I don't own anything by them, but I admire their designs. Victor and Rolf, which is a perfume company, Ralph Lauren, which distributes perfumes under beauty. Urban Decay, which is also really unfortunate because they also do very colorful products. It Cosmetics, Yves Saint Laurent, Giorgio Armani. So those two brands are luxury and they distribute perfume. Lancôme, Kiehl's, Maison Margiela, Aesop, which is unfortunate too because I think the illusion that that brand gives is that they're like all natural and really care about the ingredients, da 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 da. Same with Kiehl's. But to find out that they're just like complicit in this is just unacceptable. We can't support them. And Miu Miu, which is a luxury brand. And there recently, they have announced that they're diving into the makeup and skincare company. So, I mean, they're launching a skincare and makeup company. So, and it just shows that they don't care. Like, they do not care because they have money from L'Oreal to launch these extensions of their brand. So, like I said, those are a bunch of brands that are owned by L'Oreal. And I will personally be boycotting all of these brands until they disinvest in Israel. They cut their ties to L'Oreal Israel, the subsidiary, and are no longer complicit in the Palestinian genocide that is ongoing. So, to learn more about general brands to protest, so this is like non-makeup companies, non-skincare companies, you can learn so much more. So, if you want to learn more about general brands to protest due to their affiliation with Israel, military occupation, and the Palestinian genocide, you can read and access so many kinds of resources at the BDS movement. They have an online website, and you can keyword stuff in their search engine on their website. So, how I learned about this is I keyworded makeup, and that's where I learned so much. So you can keyword things that are relevant to your life, you know, like fashion or who knows, like education, things that you're interested in. You can see how there are ties to the Palestinian genocide there. So not only is L'Oreal complicit in genocide, but this is obviously so much more minor because it's not human rights violations, but this is also just to give a little other history lesson as to why L'Oreal is maybe not the best company to support. They are controversial for their views on animal testing. Now, this is about 20 years ago, which is no longer relevant, but I think it just gives a little history as to other ways that they are, like I said, not the best brand to be supporting. So in 2003, L'Oreal lobbied against the EU's push to ban animal testing. And animal welfare groups in 2003 said that around 38,000 animals die in the EU itself every year in tests for new products. So, like I said, 20 years ago. But this is just like some food for thought. It's not only that they are complicit in genocide, which is obviously the biggest concern, like obviously, but they're not the best company in terms of other things. So at that time, Britain, Germany, Austria, Belgium, and the Netherlands have already had banned cosmetic testing on animals. But unlike the EU law, such bans did nothing to stop products tested on animals being imported from abroad, which is concerning because then it's like there are loopholes that other companies can use. So most of Europe's cosmetic testing is carried out in France and Italy. So if France and Italy didn't ban it then, that they could export. But the EU has since banned it, but there's still controversy today about L'Oreal and animal testing because they export products to China, and China is known to require animal testing for like the final step in allowing exports to like makeup and skincare exports to happen in their country. So that's just some food for thought. So many EU at that time, many EU governments initially resisted Parliament's push for a product ban, saying it could put the European Union and the European bloc at risk for a trade dispute from exporter countries. So that's, I guess, their reasoning for pushing against the animal testing. But yeah, it's just some food for thought. So essentially, the brand to protest, just to boil it down, if you can't remember all the ones that I listed, which is totally fine because I listed like 15. But one of the most popular brands is NYX Cosmetics. I wanted this to be the focus because, like I said, it was my favorite brand and it was a way for me to express myself with weird, unconventional colors. But I will be boycotting it because I will not be complicit in their funding. But not only are they complicit, NYX Cosmetics formulates their lip glosses. Just an example, they formulate their lip glosses with microplastics, getting back to my radio show name. This is just one example of a product that they have that is formulated with microplastics. And specifically, it's formulated with polyethylene and paraffin. So you might think of paraffin as paraffin wax, but yes, it is a microplastic. However, polyethylene is a more obvious form of microplastic. That's like literally, like the loose plastic that's like cling wrap. That's what you can imagine is broken down into a million pieces, made into liquid, and being put in your makeup. And a brand to recommend is Dr. Bronner's. So, unfortunately, Dr. Bronner's does not have makeup, but they do have things like chapstick if you're looking for a non-fossil fuel derived or microplastic derived formulation. They do have chapstick, which is related to beauty, I guess. But if you're looking for general body care, like lotions and stuff, you can look at Dr. Bronner's. They have plastic-free formulas. They are certified fair trade. They use post-consumer recycled plastic, and they're actually pioneers of this method. I actually wrote a whole paper on it for one of my classes last semester about Dr. Bronner's and how amazing of a company that they are. Yes, that they are a I mean, they're a huge brand now, but I believe they're still family owned, which is good because then they don't have to meet the demands of stakeholders who are probably corrupt and complicit. So that's a good thing. Also in their soaps, they do not use SLS. They saponify, I think the word actually is, like natural oils. So they don't do the same thing I was talking about SLS, isolating the fatty alcohols. They use a slightly different method. So there's no SLS. So you don't have to worry about waterway pollution buildup. And because they use natural oils to make soap, it is biodegradable. So you don't have to worry about the waterway pollution. If you don't know what I'm talking about, my last episode, I covered SLS, which is sodium lauryl sulfate. It's a surfactant and it is used in soaps like shampoos or just body soap to remove oil and dirt so you're clean. But yeah, Dr. Bronner soap doesn't have SLS, so you don't have to worry about the waterway pollution. So they do use palm oil for their soaps, but they've partnered with Natural Habitats, which is a NGO, I believe, to obtain fair trade palm oil and organic palm kernel oil from Ecuador, where family farmers grow oil palms sustainably and receive fair prices. So they prioritize family-owned farms in Ecuador. They do it sustainably, so they're not draining the nutrients from the land, and they pay them fairly, which is awesome. So that is my episode for today. I hope you learned a little something. I'm sorry that this episode is shorter, and I'm sorry that I'm like talking kind of out of breath. I think I just drank so much caffeine and my heart is pounding a little bit, but yeah, I hope you learned something. So in essence, just to kind of like wrap this all together, if you can, please boycott L'Oreal. Like I said, in summary, L'Oreal is worth hundreds of millions and is complicit in the Palestinian genocide because of their factories there that have displaced Palestinians from living there. They use the land and resources that are effectively displacing Palestinian people. They have donated money to institutes which do research on behalf of the Israeli military. So please, please, please boycott L'Oreal. And specifically, if you can't remember all the brands that I was talking about and which they own, you can do so effectively by also boycotting NYX Cosmetics, because not only are they owned by L'Oreal, but they formulate with microplastics, like I said, in the form of polyethylene and paraffin. And they also formulate with polybutane, which is derived from fossil fuels. I forgot to mention that. And the brand to recommend, like I said, is Dr. Bronner's Fair Trade and Plastic Free. So I hope you learned a little bit this episode. It was slightly different, like I said, about microplastics. But the reason why I talked about this, like I mentioned in the beginning, is because you cannot separate social movements from each other. They are interlinked, and it is essential to talk about this. It's ongoing. It's heartbreaking. Obviously, it's disgusting, and we need to band together and boycott the brands that are complicit. So, yes, I hope you learned about boycotting makeup, skincare, hair care. If you want to learn more, you can always DM me on Marley Eve, Marleyeve, and I can send you the direct link so you can learn yourself, so you know what resources I'm accessing. Or you could just look up the BDS movement online and you can, like I said, look up the keywords and learn a lot more on your own time. It's very accessible. But yeah, I'll see you guys next time. And if you are ever wanting me to cover anything specifically, you can always reach out to me and I'm happy to make an episode on it. I love you guys and have a great rest of your Sunday. I hope it's relaxing and have an amazing week. Take care. Bye. Thanks for tuning in on Moss Radio. This was Makeup Microplastics with Marley. Bye bye.